This is RSB&B Update, episode 218, recorded Thursday, August 20th, 2009, The Great Chupacabra. Hello, everybody. RSB&B Update, once again. Brad is here.
Hello.
Jason, also from Informer, is here.
Hello.
Who hasn't been on the show before, but he's making his grand debut today, and he's the author of the famous What You've Been Wearing series on Informer.
That's me. So,
we're just going to do a normal show here. We're going to try and be as normal as we can, given the menagerie update. I don't know how you can be normal with a menagerie. You guys build one?
Actually, yesterday I did get on and build one.
Okay. What do you think?
From what I read, it looks like it could be pretty useful for people that have a bunch of cats.
That is correct. Basically, for those of you guys who haven't read the update yet, the menagerie allows you to place to house pets. You can house a certain amount depending on what type of pet house you build. You can also have a feeder there. You can change the habitat to kind of just look different, you know? It doesn't really affect the pets. And I think the most important thing of this is you can build a mini summoning obelisk so you can recharge your summoning points.
Yeah, that could be useful. Especially if you're using a beast of burden or something to do your construction.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, that's something that's long overdue, I think. Brad?
It seemed to me like a slightly wacky addition, considering the majority of the rest of the rooms in player and houses are fairly conventional.
Well,
but it looks useful.
It was a player-suggested thing.
I guess it makes sense. So you have pets in RuneScape, there should be a place to keep them in your house.
What kind of pets do you guys have?
Two of every cat. I'm not really a cat person, but in-game they're kind of fun to grow. I have one dog, and I think I had a baby platypus, but I shoot it away.
Okay. Brad?
I don't believe I have any pets on RuneScape. Apart from the evil cat.
Yeah, Brad likes cats. He wants a cat that can sit with him in his house, and that when somebody comes, he can send it out, you know, and do his assassinations.
A killer cat?
Yeah, you told me before.
No, I don't think I did. This is you making up really random things.
You said you'd give it a Hitler mustache.
What?
Serious.
I swear you make these things up as you go along.
No, like 3 years ago you said that. You wanted an evil cat to do your bidding and you give it a Hitler mustache.
How would I give a cat a Hitler mustache?
I don't know.
See, it makes no sense.
But you said it.
I doubt it.
You did.
Your memory's terrible.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Anyways, first up is the habitat. You can have the garden habitat, the jungle habitat, the desert habitat, the polar habitat, and the volcanic habitat.
Why would you want a volcano in your house?
It is rather illogical, if I do say so myself, because wouldn't the volcano start the rest of the house on fire?
Pompeii, yeah, everybody.
What about that?
Do you not know what Pompeii was?
Nope.
A city in Rome that was, you know, had a volcano by it, which erupted, and everybody in the town was killed, and it was all covered in molten lava.
Oh, okay.
And they were all perfectly preserved by the lava.
Ash?
No, yes, that's actually called the New AR de Hunt that does that preserving.
Oh. Whatever. You didn't even know what it was.
No, but I know how a volcano works.
Good for you.
Are there any volcanoes in Georgia?
Not that I know of, and I hope there aren't.
What about
at least
India?
Not around here.
Right.
No, not that I know of either. Is that one in... No, there's not.
Oh, well. It's too bad. Then comes the pet house. There's the oak pet house, which can house up to 3 pets. The teak pet house, 6. And the mahogany pet house, 10. Then, of course, you got the very special ones that require magic stones, which also house up to 10.
Desecrated.
Yeah.
Now, what I don't like is that the upper level ones only ever hold 10. Why can't it be like 15, 20, 25?
They said there is in the FAQ about this update, actually. They said the reason you can only have one menagerie and the pet limits are as they are is because it would be a tremendous strain on the server to instance that many pets in a certain area, you know, because anybody who has the player-owned house in the same spot as you is using it at the same time, but it's an instant area, instanced, so it's more stress on the server. That's why they can't.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Then comes the pet feeders, which you can just walk in and say, feed all, any pet that you have with you. But when you put a pet in the pet house, it automatically gets fed whenever it needs to get fed. So that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it should also be noted that you can only store fully grown pets.
Yeah. No babies. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Brad, you going to build one now that you've heard about it?
I have no real need to store that many pets, so no.
Oh, that's too bad. I posted a picture on RuneWire of mine. You guys can find it at runewire.com/Shane. And basically there you can see that I put my Ceridoman owl in there and my cat. And they're basically free to roam the house once they get in there. You guys don't seem to like my owl?
No, it's my internet. It's taking a while.
Oh, Brad?
I don't like your owl.
Okay.
It's probably right-wing and fascist, just like you are.
I'm not fascist. Anyways.
You're getting there.
Moving on. The mini summoning of Blisk requires 1,000 spirit shards, a marble block, and 10 of each charm.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, last night, Shane really gave me a scare. He said 1,000 of every charm instead of 10 of each. I was like, what?
Yeah, that would be rather troubling, you know?
Expensive?
Yeah, seeing as
time-consuming.
Because I only have 150 blue charms as it is right now. Brad,
yeah.
Do you keep a charm stockpile?
No.
Okay, well then we'll move on then. The summoning of Blisk, very useful if you put it next to an entrance because you can pop in, recharge your prayer, recharge your summoning, and off you go.
And feed your pet.
Yeah. So let's give the menagerie a rating out of 5. Jason?
3.5.
Okay. Brad?
3.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 4. And we're not going to teach you how to calculate averages this week, so rest easy.
Yay!
Go to Wikipedia for that.
Yeah. They also updated the summoning globe, as they call it. The summoning status globe. I don't know why they call it a globe. I just prefer to call it a HUD, you know? it has all the options that you could want on it, like take Beast of Burden, dismiss, renew familiar, open familiar options. Brad, you remember when this user interface change came out, we were complaining about it? How it was harder to use. This makes it actually a whole lot easier to use than before when summoning was in its own tab. So, it's just like the prayer thing. You right-click and choose your option. And you know, I sort of wish I had this when I was runecrafting because right-clicking and choose take Beast of Burden was quite... that extra click was rather...
Oh no, one extra click.
Well, yeah, and moving the mouse. So, I'm glad about this update.
It looks like it'd be very useful. I haven't tried it yet.
Another thing they say is that it will also help in combat. They tweaked it so there's an attack option, so your familiar won't always be a few squares behind you when you're in a multi-combat attacking situation. So, like, if you're at God Wars or something, you can just have an attack right away and it won't get caught up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, butler upgrades. Similar thing with the butler. He'll know when you want to send your items to the bank and sawmill. So rather than having to call him twice, you can just call him once, say, go to bank and sawmill with these, and then he'll come back. Another upgrade they also mentioned with him is he now has the ability to take his own payment out of your bank next time he goes if it's due.
I wonder if he's honest.
Yeah, you know, I'd hope that serious bug testing would go on for something like this, because...
Yeah.
I don't know, that's something that annoyed me quite frequently in construction, so it's good to hear that that's been fixed.
Streamlined.
Yeah. Yes, that's good. This is like a week of streamlining, you know? You know, like, without the innovation of streamlining, so many things wouldn't have happened. Like, we wouldn't have been able to break the sound barrier and stuff.
Yeah.
So streamlining is key. I don't know. Brad, you seem rather quiet about this.
I have no real opinion on it, that is why.
Okay. How about mobilizing armies?
First time I've heard Jagex use the phrase polishing.
Yeah.
It's good they're making changes.
Yeah.
They're sort of adjusting it to sort of learning from where they might have done things a bit incorrectly and writing them.
Yep.
Writing the wrongs.
This is also another case for my members plus where they get access to beta servers and they have to sign an NDA.
Oh, God.
What?
The whole thing, any big games company, MMORPG, that does PTR testing, public test realm, it's in the public domain earlier anyway. They wouldn't have you signing NDAs because they'd know that the majority of the RuneScape playing population, which is probably, you know, a lot of people between the ages of 12 and 24... are not going to keep this stuff secret. They're going to leak it onto fan sites, and it would be all over fan sites in no time. So they're not going to make you sign NDAs.
If you breach your NDA, you lose your access, and they keep your money for the
rubbish.
Year.
It's more time. It's more trouble than it's worth.
I don't know.
Their point of view.
That would work.
If they did allow public testing, which wouldn't be a bad idea, it would be completely open and transparent, as everyone else does it. Just because you like the idea of, ooh, signing an NDA, and, ooh, I'm on the inside, and, ooh, I'm special, that doesn't make it viable.
But sure it does. It's a good way for them to get extra money.
Yes, but the whole premise of it is completely frivolous. If they were going to do testing before updates were released, they'd merely have to release information about the updates beforehand.
No, they'd have, like, a... The NDA could work.
No, it couldn't.
Sure it could. Anybody who develops an iPhone app has to sign an NDA.
That's different. That's not an MMORPG.
But in some cases it's less sensitive. I mean, signing an NDA about a fart application
hang a second. It would make them more money, but they would also have to have members of their legal team actually draft up this NDA, which would take them time and therefore money. Not like it's just printing extra money. There would be drawbacks to it as well.
But they're hiring their own lawyers.
Exactly, but it's going to cost more time from those lawyers where they could be doing other things doing things at all.
I still think it's a good idea. What do you
think,
Jason?
Before you speak, Shane. Think before you speak.
What do you think, Jason?
I'd have to Wikipedia an NDA.
Non-disclosure agreement. I mean, you can't talk about it.
Oh.
Yeah, and if you do, there'll be penalties.
They'll kill you.
No, nothing that bad.
It will be good for them to have players tested, I think, but I do have to agree that players would leak information.
So just cancel their account to keep the money. Simple.
No, so it's making it open and transparent. If you think this is such a good idea, then ask you, why is any other major company that has an MMORPG, Blizzard with World of Warcraft, and Mythic, who run Warhammer Online, they all do public testing realms. We don't have to pay to get on them. And that's what they do. Why don't they have these NDA and pay more agreements?
Because they're not innovative.
It's a stupid idea.
They're not innovative like Jagex in their
No,
in
because
their
it's
business
just...
Model.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you calling the site that has an MMORPG with 11 million subscribers isn't innovative?
Yeah, they are innovative because they were the first to adopt the browser model.
Yes, but that doesn't necessarily mean... That's not an argument for the introduction of paid NDA testers.
It would help them pave the way to future things.
They're probably making enough money as it is. They've got subscriber numbers in the millions, haven't they?
Yeah, so why not I'm sure Andrew would like a little bit more pocket change.
Please, please send this question into the next Q&A session and we can see one of their customer support team try and give you a nice sort of answer, which basically says, no, you're a retard, go away. Because that's what these answers are, really, when they're like, well, no, it doesn't work that way. It's pretty, I bet the person answering that thinks, God, these people are thick. And that's what they think when they read that suggestion.
Okay, back on track. Policing, mobilizing armies. Conflict scenario has been changed from 4-player to 2-player. This was primarily done because in the 4-player mode, people would wait for other people to attack each other, and therefore just swoop in on at the end. I can attest to that happening.
Yeah, me too. I got killed many times like that.
Yeah.
That's why I stopped playing.
Squad levels have been removed. So this allows for... The issue was that it led to too many waiting rooms, 4 scenarios, and 5 ranks, so that's 20 rooms, so then 20 times 20 players, so what is that? You guys do the math?
400?
Yeah, so that this cuts it down drastically, so basically with this, people are able to experience the game better, they say, so. Oh, I think yeah, this one's going to change.
What I've always wondered is, why did they need 20 players in the waiting room if only 4 got in a game at a time?
Yeah, that never made sense to me either. I don't know. It's rather weird. Waiting room improved in 5 simultaneous games. 20 players are required, as we said, for a game to start. And when a player doesn't get picked, they get an increased priority for next game. Originally, only 4 of those 20 players were picked to join a game at the time, but we improved this a little so that three games started at any one point in time. 5 games are now started simultaneously compared to 3.
About time.
Yeah. And you can sell your reward items back. So, for instance, say if you were to buy a reward item now, or before, I mean, you wouldn't be able to sell it back and get the points to buy a better item in the future. Now you can sell it back and get the points. And
is there a time limit on this?
No.
Like, once you buy something, do you only have a certain amount of time to sell it back?
I don't think so.
They don't say so. And I think it's kind of like Castle Wars.
You can sell items back in Castle Wars?
Yeah, you used to be able to at least. 100% value back.
Oh, I never knew that. Okay. Yeah, so that's what this probably is then. So, I don't know. It's about time that they changed these because the game did have a few holes in it, you know?
But yeah.
I still maintain my original point that it needs to involve more strategy and like building up and resource gathering.
Oh yeah, I love strategy games like that.
Yeah, I'm looking for a new one. I don't think mobilizing armies was it, unfortunately.
Because it's not. It's a game within a game. It's not going to be a full-on RTS game.
Well, then don't market it as a real-time strategy game.
It's a mini RTS game within a game.
Yeah.
Okay. Tweaks and fixes. All longswords, dragon, and rune scimitars have received a slight graphical update. I saw these, actually, and they look better than they did before. Not as bright, if you guys remember that they were bright before.
Yeah. So the thing I don't like is the scimitars are held upwards. What I liked about the longsword was it was one of the only swords that was held upwards like that.
Yeah, see, that's something that still needs to be fixed, I think, the wield position. They said they updated it last week, but it wasn't that much of an update.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Brad, did you take a look at these?
Yes, but I can't greatly recall what they looked like before, so I have no frame of reference.
Okay. And they added an activity bar to the Great Orb project. So yay. If you're slacking, then you get kicked out. Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you can find more fixes in the release notes, like some people not fighting back when they're supposed to, and all that kind of good stuff. What's next? Brad, do you want to talk about this next thing since you were talking about the player support Q&A a few minutes ago?
You mean we were arguing about it on MSM before?
Yes.
I have nothing really to say about this apart from the fact that it's a lot of answers about
stupid questions.
Stupid questions, but my argument, Shane says they're stupid questions and they shouldn't have been answered, but my question is, My point is, it is within Jagex's interests to educate the player base about the rules or about anything else. Anything else that the majority of players, well, not even the majority, that a good number of players might consider a given.
I mean, seriously, though, asking if the punishment for macroing is too harsh.
But like I said, it is within Jagex's interests to reinforce the rules at opportunities like this.
You reinforce the rules by enforcing them and banning those people permanently.
Yes, but let's face it. Yeah. Jagex will ban people if they have to, but they would rather educate people about the rules and not have to ban them and therefore keep their money.
Exactly. More money for them.
So as I've used this phrase an awful lot already, but it is within their interests to hammer this into everyone that don't do this or you get banned. You shouldn't do that. That's bad. It may seem stupid and pointless or very frivolous to you, but in their mind, it's saving them money possibly that they might have lost through banned accounts.
Well, if they're losing money, just bring in the premium membership thing and problem solved.
No, I don't think this is something that is motivated by their concerns that they are losing money. But like I said, overall, it is within their interests to maintain.
I don't know. I just read through the Q&A. I just shook my head as I was reading through some of these because it's like, we're wasting our time on this.
So, who's we?
We, as in the terms of Jagex Q&A.
Them.
But like I said, it's not a waste of time for the reasons I have stated before.
Oh, I think it is.
Oh, Shane.
But I guess if it's for the entire community support department, they probably have nothing to do because there's that whole new department called community management. I guess they need something to do, don't they?
Yes.
Okay. So you can read those on your own time. That's it for RuneScape updates. Anybody have anything else?
Nine.
No.
Okay. I'm going to move on to questions then. We've got three audio questions this week. The first one is from a fellow named
NikeyBala435. Hello, hosts of RSBNB. Here are my questions. Shane and Brad, will you each write down one word to describe yourself and one to describe the other person and then share them? The writing is so that your answers won't influence each other's. And for Jason MRC, what is your favorite part of all in BNB? Thanks and keep up the great show.
So Jason, you answer first while we write her word down.
All in BNB? Does he mean all of RSBNB?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Favorite part.
Where's my pen?
You've got a computer right in front of you.
Yeah, I know, but he said write it down. So I feel the compulsion to get a pen. Sorry, just answer your question.
I love the calcs. They're extremely useful. The calculators.
Okay.
Make it so much easier for training.
Anything else that you like on the same level or possibly slightly less?
The forums are nice.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Go to forums.rsbnb.com and sign up. It's a nice community.
Meet some nice people.
Yeah. We're nice most of the time. Well, all of the time. There's only a few people who can kind of get out of hand once in a while, you know?
Yeah, but we got some people with big sticks, right?
Yeah. That's right. So, Brad, you got
I have the biggest stick.
That's good to know.
Besides Mike and Shane. So, words. I think we should say these at near enough the same time to prevent any sort of... I've written down my words.
Words?
We got to say the words about... What? Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, the words, as in there's one word about ourselves and one word about the other.
Oh, I thought it was just about the other.
No, it was about the other and one
about
myself.
Oh, I need
himself.
One about myself, then.
I say we do the ones about ourselves first.
Okay.
I don't like writing, giving appraisals or my opinion of myself because I think if you say something negative, you sound like you're, you know, down on yourself and depressed. And if you say something positive, you sound like an egomaniac.
Yeah.
So I have a word that takes into account those 2 points.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
That's your word?
That's my word. Okay. Well, it's not a word. It's an abbreviation. Oh, and okay is a word. See?
Okay.
It's neutral. It's neither good nor bad.
Okay. That's okay, Brad. Is that
okay? I'm okay.
That's
and what's
good.
Your word?
Carrie.
What's your word? Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Anybody who knows me personally will know that.
No.
Serious.
Bullshit. I'm sorry, that's rubbish.
I care about you. I care about you, Jason.
Yeah, you care about selective people and other people you wouldn't mind if they were thrown into a pit of lions.
No, be nice.
That's true.
No.
You're very selective. You're not a compassionate person.
I'm caring for where it counts.
Okay, well then we've got to do the word about the other day. This is going to be the fun one.
Okay.
Right. I say we say it at the same time, okay?
Okay, Jason, give us a countdown.
Okay, go on, give us a countdown.
3, 2, 1, go.
Liberal.
Ignorant. Oh, that was fun.
I'm not ignorant.
That's exactly what an ignorant person would say.
I'm not.
Oh, that was fun.
It was, wasn't it?
You do stuff like that more often. It's sort of like a therapy thing. Like, Brad, what are your problems with Shane? Talk about them. And Shane, what are your problems with Brad? Let's talk about them. Flashbacks.
We've been to therapy before?
Oops, I gave too much away there. No, I didn't. Next question. That was entertaining. Thank you,
Nike Bala. Next one's from Magic Jarvis.
Dear Shane, Brad, and Jason, what are your views on peer accounts? I've recently started playing RuneScape again and rejoined the community. This time around, I opted to play solely on my peer account for a different game experience. I remember a few years ago, you guys didn't really understand what the point of peers were, so if this is still the case, I'd be happy to explain my decision.
Well, before we get going, I'm going to say that we all know what peer accounts are. I think that's right, right?
Yeah.
Well, of course, it all depends on what kind of peer, but he's probably referring to a strength peer.
Yeah. And what was the what we think the opinions of peers are, or what? What our opinions
are? I don't
like
them.
Yeah, neither do I, Brad.
I have no real thoughts on it. It's a play style, and if people want to play that way, I don't care.
Okay. The reason I don't like them is because it's so limiting, you know? Like, why be limited to one certain kind of thing and have disadvantages in other areas if you can have one complete account that works for everything, you know? That's my kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really makes sense, because RuneScape combat, in the end, if we're talking about combat-based peers, is a dice for all the ones you have, like, 95+, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my thoughts on it.
So what you're saying is we should all go and get some dice and just gamble on those.
Yeah, sure.
I have some dice, but they're not with me.
How many?
Come on, Snake Eyes!
How many, you guys ever see 100-sided dice?
No. Yes, we have one, I think.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, one of my teachers used to have 100-sided dice.
Oh, I googled them. They look cool.
Anyways, skill peers are nice. They're always nice kind of people, you know? They're like the kind of people who like to, I don't know.
You still host...
yeah, we do.
You still host that clan.
Peaceful. RSBNB.com. We still host them. Reason they're hosted is because they were originally started up by one of our former mods, Lucy. So, that was way back when, if you guys remember her.
I remember seeing posts, but I wasn't registered at the time.
I remember her coming back and acting really weird. I mean, that was 2007.
Yeah, that's a topic for another day, though, you know?
So. That is a topic for another day.
Yeah, I don't know, so... But it's your account. Do what you want with it, but don't.
If you enjoy it, then it's okay.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, but just don't complain when you can't do something with it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't expect the game to tailor to you. If you want to sort of, you know, if you want to be selective in the skills you train, then you have to be selective. Except that it's going to be selective in what you're able to do.
What would happen on RuneScape if people could have children? What kind of what kind of child would a strength peer having a child with a skill peer be?
Were they or were they not married?
Well, of course they're married.
Oh yes, everyone knows you can't have children unless you're married. Are you insinuating that if two characters had a child, as you said, that would sort of inherit the skills or traits? Or?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay, is this another wacky idea that you get if you pay more money to Jagex and sign an NDA?
No! No! Okay. Because who would the kid be an NPC or what? Would you give it to a new person or...?
That's a good point. I think this is one of the many reasons why they would never implement this sort of feature in RuneScape. It's not The Sims.
And it would make the game 18+.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, it could be bought by the Stork. There are ways around that.
By the Stork?
Yeah. Stork.
They would never implement it because it's just not feasible. And RuneScape is not a lifestyle sim.
No, it's not every day you go kill the King Black Dragon.
No.
And to mention that after you kill it, it comes back.
Yeah. Several minutes.
That'd be really scary.
And if you die in RuneScape, you just lose all the items you had on you except 3, and then you end up in someplace else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that might be what death is like in this world, and you end up in Florida, because there does seem to be an awful lot of old people there.
Well, I guess you'd probably end up wherever you were born.
Yes, good point.
Jason, you're close to Florida. Why don't we get Brad to try that? You go see if he ends up there, and then we'll...
I'll kill myself and see if I end up... No, you should never, ever even joke about killing yourself on the internet, because someone might call the police and they'll think you're doing it. And I have no intentions of taking my own life.
Good. That's good.
Good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. No way.
Save me a trip to Florida.
Okie dokie. Thank you, Magic Jarvis, who is a longtime listener. I remember him back in the day, back in the peak of days.
He disappeared, then came back.
Yeah. Stick around. Why don't you come to the forums? Our last audio question is from Killjoy.
Hello, Shane, Brad, and Jason. I got two questions for you today. The first one is directed towards Shane. Shane, when people talk about you in Clan Chat or on the forums or on RuneWire and they talk and they make fun of you, does that hurt you inside, hurt your feelings? Because if it does, I'm truly sorry for all the times I made fun of you. And to all, what do you guys think about the new game that's sweeping RSVNB? Nation States. What's your opinion on that game? Alright, thanks guys. Killjoy out.
Interesting background music.
I love the voice. You sound like you should be like a chat show host. You should be like, does that hurt you, Shane? When people are if people are mean to you, does that hurt you? Does that make you feel bad inside? Well, we've got him here, come on. It sounds like you should be a chat show host. It really does.
It doesn't make me feel bad inside. It just lets me know who my friends are and who I need to watch a little bit closer.
Yeah, he's realized I'm not his friend and he needs to watch me closely for the past 4 years.
See, that's just sort of the thing. It doesn't really affect me because I get that sort of thing often, so I can't take it...
From me.
I can't take it literally. So it just means that I'm just a little bit more aware of you. And in the future, that could help you or it could hurt you. It really depends on how your behavior goes after you make fun of me. So, I forget the second part. What was the second part?
So did I. About nation states.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft Asia. The dominion of Microsoft Asia.
I'll explain it because there's got to be people listening who have no idea what this is. Basically, it's sort of like a web-based – it's almost like a text game, but it's not as lame as most text games are. And basically, you sign up on this site, nationstates.net, and you basically sign up your a country, and you get to pick the name, sort of the prefix. You can have republic, federation, all these other sort of country-like – and then you pick a name. And then you answer a load of questions about various social and political issues, sort of like on the political compass test. And from those, it gives you like a rough starting point for your country. And then every day you get issues things happening in the country, you can have it set up to maximum is 2 a day, I think.
Yeah.
And it'll basically gives you an issue, and it'll be like a problem. Like, you know, I think the first one you get is something like, should voting be compulsory? And then you have to, there'll be three statements, and you have to pick the one you most agree with, and then you leave it. And then within, I think it's, if you have it on twice a day, it's like within 6 hours or 12 hours or something, it sort of enacts that, and it has an effect on your country sort of standings and how things happen. So it's almost like a political simulation.
Hey, Microsoft Asia is following new legislation as of 4 hours ago where employers may fire workers without giving any reason.
My newest legislation is the latest Harry Potter book is a bestseller because I had an issue that said, should I ban it or should I allow it? And you get to pick your national animal and a currency.
What's yours?
My national animal is the weasel, which, because I remember we did, you know, the RSPB staff as animals thing we were going to do a while ago, and I was always going to be the weasel. And my currency is the Brad.
I'll have five Brads. That's how boring. I know. That's boring.
Says the person who called their country Microsoft Asia.
Yeah.
But anyway, if it's very fun. If you're at all interested in politics, or even if you're not, you would probably enjoy this. And if you do sign up, you can. All the states are part of regions, and we have an RSBNB region, just called RSBNB, which you can join, and all our sort of places are joined together there. But most people haven't used anything relating to their forum name, so it's a bit of a guess as to who's who.
What's your regional influence?
Duck Speaker, I think.
Oh, mine's Vassal.
You can also, there's also a thing within the game called the World Assembly, which is sort of like, I think it's modeled after the United Nations, which you apply to join. You have to apply to join, but I think you'll always get admitted, and then you can vote on resolutions that are put forward. But the thing is, if you join up to this World Assembly, you have to follow resolutions that are put through. You can't pick and choose which to follow. So it's if you're, you know, so like I said, if you're at all interested in politics, you'll probably find it very enjoyable. And you only need to log on like once, twice a day to check up on your issues.
And with this, I'm going to prove that seeing the bigger picture is the best way to go.
Yeah, and this is going to prove that Shane's philosophy will ruin a country extremely fast. But anyway, it's very fun. Nationstates.net, and we're the region RSBNB. It's very fun.
Jason, you going to make one?
I don't know. I'm awfully busy, but if it only takes a little bit of time, I might test it out.
You'd probably need to invest like 10 minutes a day, if that.
Yeah.
It's just like log in, read the issue that you've got, and then have a bit pretty less. You're putting 5 minutes a day.
Yeah, that's
really takes no time at all.
How do I send you? You sent me a telegram.
You click on the person. The country which you find me through RSBNB, and then you click that person, and then you click. There's a thing at the bottom. There's a box you can send to a telegram under the World Assembly stuff and under national happenings.
Okay, now just a question: can you like invade other countries?
I don't think so. No,
because you'd be my first target.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Moving on. Thank you, Killjoy. Brad, read the next one.
Dear Shane, Brad, and Jason, did you have to have braces when you were younger? First question. I'll answer. Yes, I did. I had them on my upper teeth, my top teeth, for about a year when I was 11, 12.
Okay.
They weren't that bad, really. I don't have amazing teeth now, but my teeth look pretty good, so it's fine, really. I didn't mind having them.
Okay. For me, no.
I went to the orthodontist a few weeks ago, and he said I might have to have them. I haven't had them yet, but unfortunately, I might have to have them soon.
Full braces?
Good thing to have. Good thing to have, I'd say.
Full braces for 2 years.
Just have fun getting food out of them. That's all I have to say. I've heard.
Yeah, I actually don't remember that being a problem. I know there's some things you're not supposed to eat. I think I was told you're not supposed to have curry because it can potentially stain your teeth under the But I honestly don't remember being that bad. The only thing I remember was really weird was it just made my whole sort of mouth feel quite tight, which is, I guess, it's supposed to because it's pulling all your teeth together. But I don't remember it being that bad. I remember it was fine. I remember, I think after I had them taken out, I sounded a little different. I must have obviously I sounded different with them on, but it was fine, really.
Okay.
Mm.
Next part.
Well, that's good to hear.
Next part. Also, if you find a magic lamp in real life, what would your three wishes be? Those questions are from German Island. And my three wishes, I would wish for... Oh, I'd have all the usual stuff, you know. I'd wish for an infinite supply of money. I would want the ability to turn invisible and also the ability to fly so I could be like my own stealth jet.
You know,
assuming anything is possible.
Strangely,
which if it's a wish, it should be.
I have to say the same things as you.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
You're just a copycat.
No, seriously, invisibility, the ability to fly, and money.
Well, we're...
Are we allowed to wish for more wishes?
That's a good point.
He doesn't say, does he?
So yeah, no, actually, that would be the smart wish.
Just always use your third wish for that. Wish for three more wishes.
Okay. What else would you wish for, Jason?
Well, if I could wish to be like one of my Round Robin characters, the characters in the Round Robin that I write in non-RuneScape-related media, I'd want to wish to be like Skyray. Because he can turn invisible, he can teleport, he's a very good fighter, pretty much anything you'd want to be. Then for the third or second, whatever, probably all the money in the world. Or
that's
just an infinite supply.
That's a good wish, wanting to be like a character, because you sort of get lots of superpowers in one.
That's good.
Anyway.
I wonder about this guy's name, German Island. Does he mean Germany should, like, be an island or something?
Germany's landlocked on three sides.
I know, so does he want it to be an island?
I have no idea. Do you think he's a one-man movement to sort of try and get Germany as an island, like to sort of unattach it from France, Switzerland, Italy, Poland, and the Czech Republic?
That could be
And Austria, and just push it out into the sort of the North Pacific. They'd have to get past Denmark
North
first.
Pacific?
The North Atlantic. They'd have to get past Denmark first. That'd be difficult. I don't think that gap between... No, there's no way that would work. If that is your cause, German Island, then you just better give up now. I don't think it is, though.
Yeah.
I think we've just taken that point and stretched its credibility to breaking point.
I'll take the next one. Shane, Brad, and Jason, what's the funniest thing you've done? Mine was when I was a cadet, I turned one of the other cadets' beret badge around on final parade, and he found out about it 3 weeks later. Okay. Funny things. I know what the funniest thing I've done in recent memory is April Fool's on the site when we did the pictures thing.
Pictures?
Yeah, in April Fool's 2006, was it?
Is that the one we actually, when we logged in, we saw our own picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't funny. That
was
scary.
I made King Cola hit his head. He fell off his chair.
2006. That was the same year we did the big update recording, wasn't it?
Yeah, which you missed a few weeks ago. We did another one.
Nothing could have been as good as the 2006.
Oh, ours was good.
It wasn't as good as the 2006 one, though.
No, nobody's phone went off or anything. So.
And we all orchestrated a plan to randomly shut up and really freak you out. Guys. That was funny. Oh, memories. It's a shame most of the people on that show turned into a-holes.
Be nice. Brad,
it's true.
What's your funniest thing?
The funniest thing I've done? I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I can't recount my funniest moments.
Okay.
Probably haven't been that many.
No.
I don't know.
I have to agree with you.
Hey! Shane's funny. That's your funniest moment, Shane. And that's a pretty poor funniest moment. And I honestly have no way to answer to that.
Okay, Jason?
I have no specific one either. I mean, I make puns at things, but most of them are cheesy.
Oh, I like puns.
Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Some of them are just your everyday ones. But I don't really do any, like, really funny things.
Prank kind of things, like. You know?
No, I'm not a prankster.
Yeah, Shane's funniest thing is when he talks about his ideas.
But they're good ideas.
No, they're not, Shane. They're hilarious ideas.
Such as? Anyway,
your basic idea on social...
Okay, thank you.
Philosophy on social issues.
What's your lucky number, Brad?
13.
Jason?
I don't have one.
Okay. Yeah, neither do
I. Do I need to pick one?
No, you don't.
Mine is only 13 because I was born on the 13th, and people always say 13 is an unlucky number, so...
I'm going to say no, because there's no, like, everything is a probability, and there's no real kind of thing called luck, I think. It's all random chance.
Yes, but it's possible to be lucky in random chance, isn't it?
Yeah, but still, I don't know. There's no number that's proven to be lucky for me, you know?
I don't like 13 because it's lucky. I was born on that day, and people think it's unlucky, so I'm challenging the status quo.
Okay, that question was from Fishy X, who says, to keep up the epic show. Jason, you want to read the next one?
Dear Inshane, Brad, and Jason MRC, if you had permission to kill anyone in the world in whatever way you wanted with no repercussions, who would you kill and how would you kill them?
Okay. Go first.
There's a lot of people I'd want to kill. But...
Anybody in present company?
No. Not right now, at least.
Okay, good.
Isn't there one of those guys over in the Middle East that we still need to kill?
Yeah, Ahmadinejad.
Yeah, him, yes.
How about we torture him extremely slowly? And not just that water torture thing or whatever.
How about they do what they did to Mussolini?
What, hang his body upside down and everybody spit on him?
Yeah.
Well, you do realize they executed him by shooting him, and he was... I think he'd been dead for about a day when they did that. It wasn't like he was alive or just dead when they did that.
That's too bad.
Shooting's way too easy.
Yeah.
Gotta do slow death with lots and lots of pain.
Like that...
I sound so mean, don't I?
Like that one English guy who was tortured by the Ukrainian officials. Or no, it was a Ukrainian official in England that was tortured by the Russians.
No, it was a Russian, an ex-Russian dissident, Alexander Litvinenko.
Okay.
And he wasn't tortured, he was poisoned with polonium, which led to him dying a very slow and painful death. Why is that funny?
I don't know. It just is.
You sick bastard.
Who would you kill, then?
Okay, me? I wouldn't kill anybody. Actually, no, I'll tell you who I'd kill. I was flicking through the TV channels earlier because I had nothing to do, and I have a lot of TV channels, and sometimes it takes about 20 minutes just to flick through them all, so it's a good way to burn 20 minutes. And I came across this show, which British people may be aware of, called The Coach Trip. And basically, it's sort of like a reality TV show where all these British people get on a coach and they go around Europe, and they basically do all these touristy things. And... basically, in the 10 minutes that I watched of it, it showed British people abroad to be extremely, well, the only real, the only word I can use is like bloody Philistines. They went to Slovenia, to the capital of Slovenia, which I can't pronounce for the life of me, but it's something like Ljubljana or something like that. But anyway, and they went to this city and... they all basically said, oh, I'm surprised. I thought there'd be more bullet holes and craters. And they were like, oh, it's very civilized, isn't it? I wasn't expecting it to be this civilized. Like, they expect everywhere in Eastern Europe to just be like, cool. And then, right, it got worse. There was this one guy. This is the guy I would kill, right? And they went to a restaurant and they were sampling local pasta. And that's a pretty normal thing, isn't it? Pasta, unless you're lactose intolerant. But anyway... he basically wouldn't try this pasta, not because he was allergic to it, just because he didn't like the look of it. And he asked if he could have soup instead, right? And first he was acting like a kid, he was pulling all these faces, and he was like a 50-year-old bloke acting like a kid, and he turned down this pasta and he asked for soup. And they bought him soup, which looked bloody delicious. As he'd asked for it, he had one sip and then went, oh, I don't like that, and refused to eat it. I'm sorry, but that guy is an asshole. His general attitude, that's the person I'd kill. I was going to say I don't endorse killing people. I mean, usually I don't. But people like that, I have to take exception to.
Oh, okay.
That was a long analogy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to have to say our friend in North Korea, Mr. Kim Jong.
Shane's fascinated with Kim Jong-il.
Just a nice little strategic missile strike or bunker
buster. It would probably be quite nice to kill him because he's probably so ronery.
I don't know. I'm just still worried about what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, you're always worried, Shane. So. You live in a constant state of fear like all your right-wing cronies. Oh no, we need to be constantly afraid. Oh no, no. Anyway, I think we've answered that question and I answered enough for everyone on the planet.
Second part?
Secondly, what's the strangest place you guys have fallen asleep? I haven't fallen asleep anywhere strange. That's what Assassin 1999 answered to that question. I haven't fallen asleep anywhere strange either. I guess maybe the strangest place would be in the car on a long trip.
Okay. Brad?
My strangest place was a train in Italy, which I went to Italy about 6 years ago with my dad on holiday. We stayed in a place called... I forget.
There was a place called? On the
Italian... Yeah, it was called I Forget. And it was on the Italian Riviera, and it was about a two-hour train trip away from Milan and Turin. And we arranged to go there on day trips. And we got up really early. We got up at like 5 a.m. to get a 5:30 train to Milan. And I was really tired, and I fell asleep on this train. And that's probably the strangest place, which isn't that strange, really.
Okay. I'm going to have to go with in the car as well, because, well, you know, it's...
We all picked a form of transport.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. If I said
I... Shane will... I just hope Shane wasn't driving at the time.
No.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I could say I fall asleep in the car, but like 90% of the time I'm in the car, I'm driving, so that wouldn't be a very good thing.
I don't know. I don't like fall asleep standing up or anything, or fall asleep with my eyes open.
You sleepwalk, though.
Yes, I do, actually, sometimes. I haven't for a while, though.
You haven't for a while?
Yeah. So that's good, because it can be quite dangerous.
If you're ever staying in Shane's house, make sure you lock the door of the room you're sleeping in.
Our doors don't lock.
Make sure you barricade stuff up against it then. On to the next question. Hey Shane, Brad, and Jason MRC. What RuneScape players do you look up to? Which ones do you frown upon? If not any, then what about in real life? Okay, well, I don't really look up to any RuneScape players, and I don't really frown upon any either. But if we can talk about real life, who do I look up to in real life? Difficult question. I can't provide you an answer on that. I'm not a big person for idolizing people, because I think you idolize somebody, nobody's perfect. They're bound to fail, and you'll be disappointed. And who do I frown upon? I frown upon people. I don't look up to people, but I frown upon plenty of people. Mainly, I think people who are... intolerant of anything that is not within their own lifestyle. I don't like people who are inconsiderate of the effect their actions have upon others. Just things like that, really. I don't like inconsiderate people. I frown upon them. But they don't care because they're inconsiderate.
Jason?
I don't look up to any RuneScape player. I frown upon the ones that are annoying and make themselves into a real... I think the word's been said before. Just those really annoying ones. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about real life?
I don't really frown on too many people in real life. Mostly just the people in RuneScape. I look up to... mostly just my parents.
Okay. As for me, I really don't look up to RuneScape players, but which ones I frown upon are the annoying ones, as we've said, and also the ones who tend to break rules for their own benefit, you know?
Yeah.
Like the glitch abusers and such. As for real life, I tend to look down upon people who end up quitting halfway through something, you know? But I look up to people who have been successful through non-ordinary means, so success through a different way than one would expect. Brad, next part?
Next part. As for Shane, why do you not like mining? I have 99, and I think it's an okay skill. The show owns Jorian Pi 101.
Okay. For mining, for me, it's always been that it's so much clicking, and it's not like woodcutting where you just have to click once in a while. You know, you have to actually click for every piece of ore. That's what annoys me. And the fact
yeah,
that it's
you have
rather
to pay
slow.
Attention.
So, that's why I don't like mining. I think everybody here agrees with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They really should have rocks that have multiple ores in them. It kind of makes sense sometimes.
Yeah, it does. Like,
yeah, and there should be a random number of ore between maybe 1 and 4.
Like,
with
like
4
trees.
Being very improbable, but...
Okay. Shane, Brad, and Jason MRC, what's the difference between different types of coding, such as C++ and BB code? Keep up the great show. That's from Regnanth.
It's like different languages, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not even in the same realm, actually. BB code is sort of like a markup language. Basically, what that means is you're using text to tell something a certain way to style it. In this case, you're telling the forums how you want your text styled. That's what a markup language is, which is what BB code is. And C++, now that's a programming language, which descends from C, which is what your operating system and stuff is written in. Basically, it's a more of a low-level type of language, which means that it can interact closer to the system hardware, rather than unlike BB code, is just running on top of something else. Then there's a whole, like there's, I don't know if I should go into this, but there's like a quadrant, you know? Picture like a
no,
quadrant.
You shouldn't.
And then on that quadrant there's like scripting languages, interpretive languages, and then stuff like, there's like a scripting kind of thing and an interpretive kind of axis thing. If you want to know more about what that is, send me a PM and I'll gladly explain it to you. It's from Regnanth. Jason, next one.
Since summer is starting to end for most people, I ask you, host, what was your favorite thing about coming back to school and least favorite?
Ooh.
I'm homeschooled, so I never really had a summer.
Oh, okay. So,
I always do school, and I have days off when I need them.
So you really don't have anything for that question, then?
Not really.
Okay. Brad?
I have not been to school for a while, so I can't ask that question.
Come on, but when you were little.
I used to like the structure of school, the least favorite was obviously, which is probably why I'm joining the military, but the least favorite is probably the, I don't know if I didn't necessarily massively enjoy school, I didn't hate it, but there wasn't sort of one thing I really disliked about it.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to say the same for me, the thing I didn't like about it was that I had to change my schedule around and everything. So that was annoying. And then also going back to have to deal with annoying people. That as well. So.
Yeah.
Second part.
Also, before the skill capes, what was the motivation to get a 99 skill, if any? And how much more does a skill cape make you want to get a 99? Sincerely, Italy for life.
Sense of accomplishment? Maxing out a skill? I don't know. There's plenty of reasons to get one without a skill cape, but skill cape is just an added incentive.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah.
I have to agree there. For me, I don't choose to get a 99 unless I'm really close to it, or if I, like, for instance, the case I'm talking about is fletching. Like, I wouldn't have chose to get that, but I figured it was time to just do it. But for any other skill, I sort of think it through, and if it will be useful in the end, and if I can actually gain something from it, then I'll do it.
So, yeah, most skills don't really have a good reward for getting to 99, except for the combat skills.
Yeah, but still, as we said before, dice roll.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's mainly just a sense of liking the skill for me. Like, prime example there, farming.
Yep.
Brad? You want to go do some farming?
No.
Oh, okay.
Last question?
Yeah.
Dear Brad, Shane, and Jason MLC, do you believe in ghosts or anything paranormal? If not, what about mysterious creatures? Example, Bigfoot, aliens, chupacabras. What's also, have you ever had any paranormal experiences at all? Okay, so we can sort of lump those two together. No, I do not believe in anything paranormal. I do not believe in mysterious creatures, and I've not had any paranormal experiences. Hence, I'm very boring on this subject.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say the same as Brad for that, except for the thing about aliens. We're not alone in this universe. There has to be some form of life out there. Whether or not it's intelligent, I don't know. Whether or not we're intelligent, I don't know.
If it's not intelligent, you should get on with it very well.
It'd be nice. We need to be tolerant of other cultures and life forms.
Shane, you telling people to be tolerant is the massive... How about... This is a hypothetical question to you. How about if it turned out there were aliens and they were all massively liberal and they all mated, you know, sort of the same... They had two sexes like we did, but sort of same-sex marriage was very common and they adopted kids. Basically, all the things you hate humans doing. How would you react to that? And would you be tolerant of that? I don't think you would.
Sure, they're a different culture. They've obviously found a way to work it out, so...
And humans haven't. Humans are just doomed to failure.
Yeah.
Shane, do you listen to yourself sometimes?
Yeah, I do, actually, every week. But
right.
Jason?
Well, what is a chupacabra whatever thingy?
I have no idea. I was going to Google it, but then I got distracted.
I'm trying to open Wikipedia.
I got it. The chupacabra, from the Spanish word chupar,
literally
meaning to suck,
goat sucker,
and cabra, meaning goat, also called yada yada yada, is a legendary cryptid rumored to inhabit parts of the Americas. Right. Mm-hmm. Allegedly unknown sightings in Puerto Rico, Mexico, and the United States, and in the latter Latin American countries.
Unknown sightings, that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, go ahead, Jason.
No, I don't believe in goats. Goats.
I don't believe in goats either. They don't exist, I tell you.
Oh, that was a good one. Okay.
About those ghosts. No, I do not believe in them. No, I don't really believe in any mysterious creatures either. Yeah, there could be aliens. We don't really know. And I don't believe in the unknown sightings of chupacabra.
Oh my. First reported March 1995, last sighted 2008. Oh, and apparently it was an attack in Puerto Rico in March 1995. In this attack, 8 sheep were discovered dead, each with 3 puncture wounds in the chest and completely drained of blood. Months later, in August, an eyewitness in Mandaline Tolentino reported the creature in the Puerto Rican town of Canavanas. As many as 150 farm animals and pets were reportedly killed. Right.
Hmm. So they've come here to eat our farm animals.
Yeah. Other deaths reported in the Dominican Republic, Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Panama, Peru, Brazil, United States, and Mexico.
I, for one, welcome our new blood-sucking overlords.
Replace the vampires.
The chupacabra.
I think we should have, I was going to say something really bad then, but I said we should have like a contest between the vampires and these things. I was going to say suck off, but I thought that's it was meant completely innocently, I apologize.
Well, it sounds innocent for me.
Between vampires and these things.
Okay.
I think vampires would win, personally.
Twilight vampires?
No, that is not a vampire, Shane. That is not a vampire. Stephanie Mayer is going to burn in hell.
Okie dokie. Wow, nice question there. That was from Jacques Closey. Finally, if you want to send us audio questions, they can go to questions@rsvmb.com. Make sure we can hear you and that they're preferably under 30 seconds in length. Pretty much any format works. Just make sure it's something that we've all heard of before.
And preview it before you send it so you know the quality is good.
And the audio level. Wave, MP3, AAC, AIFF, Ogvorbis, whatever else. Windows Media, anything really.
Anything.
Tech news. Oh, I sure went crazy on this first story. I'll paraphrase it for you guys. Basically, iTunes has a quarter of music sales, and Apple has a third of online Wi-Fi song sales, meaning people who are away, out and about, use their iTouch or iPhone to buy songs. Apple has 33% of that. Also, they say that this has been a 221% increase with the Wi-Fi service, and that these numbers are U.S. only, so that should just be noted, and that Walmart is number two, which has 14% of U.S. music sales.
I would be interested to know what is iTunes' percentage of total online music sales.
I don't know. They say all online digital sales make up 35% of music sales, but we really can't know about that because there's no kind of like worldwide organization to report on this, you know?
Yeah.
It would be interesting to know, though, wouldn't it? Because...
Yeah. I don't know. You guys use iTunes?
Occasionally.
No.
Songbird?
No.
No.
Windows Media Player?
Nine.
Yes.
Okay.
Or do you mean to buy music?
No, to sync an MP3 player.
I think so.
Okay. So, I don't know. Is this slightly worrying at all that Apple is wielding this much power with this?
Doesn't really affect me.
I don't know, because 25%
is... power in the music business. It's not like it's going to leave us all penniless and living on the street if they mess up, is it?
Yeah, but what if they, like, for instance, if they started doing bad stuff with iTunes?
Well, they removed DRM, didn't they?
Yeah, but still.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, but you can't use iTunes with any other player.
Can you?
No, you can't.
Well, come on, let's face it. I mean, the majority of people who are in MP3 players are probably... See, that's another thing I'd like to know. I'd like to know what is the percentage of iPods? What is the... I cannot try to phrase this. What is the percentage of MP3 players that are iPods? I bet it's a fairly big percentage.
Okay, we're going to do a little poll here. If you use an iPod, send a PM to Brad on the forum saying iPod. If you use a Zune on the forum, send me a PM saying Zune. And if you use anything else, send Jason a PM saying what you use.
Okay. The majority of people listening to this won't have a forum account and won't be bothered to sign one up just to PM us.
Well, they can. So forums.rsvmb.com.
It's not scientific, though, is it?
Oh, well, sort of.
Not really, because, you know, they could have no MP3 player and they could still PM me and say they have an iPod. I don't know. I'm not gonna call up and ask their mothers and verify it. I don't want to go around their house and say, can you show me your iPod, please? It's not scientific in the slightest, Jane.
Anyways, World of Warcraft magazine. You gonna subscribe to this, Brad?
No, I don't even play the damn game anymore.
They're saying that this is going to be a way to try and revive print media. Because, as we all know, readership is down and print media
is having... I don't see how this is going to revive print media.
It's not.
Because there are a lot of sort of well-known World of Warcraft sites that publish articles about the game and stuff like that. And honestly, it's much easier just going to these sites. They're of a decent enough quality. Mm-hmm. So there's no need for this. It's not like it's a niche in the market. It's just completely pointless.
And also, it should also be noted that... The delays and time of publishing, you know, from the time the article is written to the time it gets out to the stores and subscribers, you know?
Yeah, it would take so long compared to online.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're heading for the death of print media.
Yeah, true. People like Rupert Murdoch, you know, are, what's the word? People like Rupert Murdoch are insistent upon resisting it, aren't they? And trying to survive. I think I remember reading something that he's planning on charging for access to online news content.
You know, New York Times tried that, but it didn't work.
It's not going to work because if I like the only site I really use now for online news apart from Dig is the BBC, and if the BBC suddenly said you've got to pay if you want to have a look at our news, I'd go somewhere else.
Yeah,
it's that simple.
Yeah.
I could afford to pay, but I'm not going to pay when I know I can get it somewhere else for free.
Yep. So I don't know.
Screw you, Rupert Murdoch.
There you go. So World of Warcraft magazine, I don't know, it could just end up like, wouldn't that be interesting though, to go like a doctor's office or something, sit down and read the World of Warcraft magazine or something?
Maybe they hope it'll increase dentist business or whatever. All those gamers go in and read the magazine.
I remember the dentist I used to go to when I was little, they used to have toys in the waiting room.
Yeah, that's a common occurrence.
I think that's the only doctors or dentists I've ever been in when they had that. Do they have that a lot over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never used to play with them. I always used to feel self-conscious. I was like, I'm just going to sit here on the chair and wait, even when I was like 6 or 7.
Yeah, that's the same for me. I didn't play them because I didn't want to touch them because they would have germs on them and stuff.
That wasn't my reason. I was simply self-conscious.
Like, germs in a doctor's office?
But you are in the right place.
I know, but still, it's just...
That's sort of like my dad the other week. He, because he owns his own shop, he had a woman who came in who was very delighted with the service he gave her. And she made him a jar of apple chutney, right? And he didn't have any. Well, he did in the end, I think he said. But at first he refused to have any because somebody had made it and he didn't know she was dirty.
Yeah.
Yet he will happily eat, you know, if it had been apple chutney from, you know, a store that had been mass-produced in a factory, you know, assembled by, you know, low-line, low-paid, you know, sort of, you know, stupid workers, no offense, but you must be if you work in a factory, then that's no problem. Yet eating something that's been homemade by somebody is wrong. I don't understand people like you, Shane, or my father.
It's just kind of like a germ kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, but it just doesn't make sense.
Sure it does. What do you think, Jason?
Around here, people would get offended if you didn't eat what they made. A lot of homemade things are made around here and passed out at social gatherings and all that, and you can trust all those people.
Well, yeah, that I can see that kind of thing. Like if it came from someone I knew personally, but somebody who I just met, like...
I would never eat anything I gave you.
Well, yeah, I can agree there, you know? But anyways... Moving on, Apple looking into reports of exploding iPhones. Remember that story we had a few weeks ago that the iPhone that exploded and created a 10-foot-high column of smoke?
Well, I don't remember that.
Oh, you must not have been here.
Neither.
Okay. Well, basically, this girl in the UK had an iPhone, dropped it, showed her dad, and then it started heating up. So he threw it out the back door, and it exploded quite spectacularly.
Is there a video?
No. But Apple wanted to shut them up by giving them money and making them sign an agreement. They didn't sign it.
Oh, Apple are terrible. I would have sold my story to loads. No, I wouldn't have sold it. I would have given my story to loads of newspapers just to defame Apple.
And they say Apple is investigating reports that one of the company's iPhones have exploded in Europe. Apple have come back to us, and what they're saying is that they consider these isolated incidences and it's not a general problem.
How can it not be a general problem? You got a piece of equipment exploding. Who knows when it's going to explode when it's in somebody's hand?
Yeah.
So you could use your iPhone as a grenade.
Well, that's a good idea.
Start heating up, just chuck it at somebody
that.
And run. Here, have an iPhone. Oh, thank you very much. That's very generous. Boom.
But you know what the problem is? It's the batteries. There's, you remember the whole defective lithium battery thing to like exploding. So I don't know. It's not really Apple's fault on this.
Of course it is.
No, it's not their fault for the faulty components, is what I'm
saying. Yeah, it is.
Sounds yes, like it components is. Faulty.
But they didn't make the battery. But they should.
Yeah, but
they should
they
take
pay for
the responsibility
battery.
For it, I say.
It is their responsibility. It's
I know,
their
yeah,
fault.
Yeah, it's their responsibility.
That I agree with, that they should be taking responsibility, but they should really vet their battery companies first. But.
And they shouldn't try and shut people yeah. up just because they have a legitimate problem with an Apple product. Go to hell, Steve Jobs.
I don't know. If it was enough money, I'd probably take it. Anyways, that's it for tech news. So if you have an iPhone or an iTouch and you live in Europe, be careful. It starts getting hot. You might want to put it away.
Give it to someone.
Yeah, that you don't like. Right, Brad?
Shane, I have an iPhone for you.
Okay, Brad, do you have a Skill of the Month update for us?
I always end up doing this.
There he's typing.
Yeah, I hear.
Scottum. Load fast, you piece of Canadian sh. Anyway, currently, I believe the same person who is in the lead is in the lead last week. Very little has changed. Torn has continued to gain experience. Not as fast as he did, but still reasonably fast. He's currently on 7.3 million. The killer has. Look, he's maybe just started a little bit yesterday, but he's still on 5.2 million, so he's got a leader about 2.1 million torn. Third place is 4.6 million. Fourth is 2.6. Fifth is 2.4. Sixth is 1.4. Seventh, King Color, 1.1. And then there's a whole host of people. 700, 600, 600, 500.
He's doing pretty good, hey?
Who?
Color.
He seems to have stopped, mostly.
Yeah. But there's one person, Sunset Fish, with 0 XP. Please get some XP. Anyways. So, by the time we talk again next week, we'll have a new Skill of the Month announced.
Has it been chosen yet?
No, it'll be chosen on the... the 24th at 12 a.m. What's your guys' guesses?
Fishing.
Oh, I'd like that.
Jason?
How about mining?
I don't know about that. But anyways, yes, rsbnb.com, Skill of the Month.
Oh yeah, we have two people here with 99 Fishing.
Who?
Who do you think? You don't have it, and there's only three people here.
Oh, I didn't know Jason had 99 Fishing.
First one. First skill to 99 for me.
Oh, okay. Okay, then. Well, maybe they'll be fishing. Who knows?
I can't believe you said that, Shane.
Picked it.
Yeah, Fred does. But Fred has no idea of... I can't believe you said that, Shane. I said, two people here have 99 Fishing, and you're like, who? Who? Do I have 99 Fishing? I don't know. Maybe I do.
Oh, I know. I don't have 99 Fishing, so that's okay.
So you should have known who immediately. Oh, God.
Anyways,
he is not the brightest.
Jason, you have a pick for us.
Pigeon, not the bird.
Okay.
The instant messaging program. It can be used on Linux, Windows, and probably even Mac. I don't know. I don't have a Mac.
Yeah, there's a.
But you can log
version.
In. Yeah, I figured so. You can log into AIM, Bonjour, Gadoo Gadoo, Google Talk, GroupWise, ICQ, IRC, MSN, MySpace, IM, QQ, SILC, Simple, Same Time, XMPP, Yahoo, and Yahoo Japan. So you can talk to all your people at once.
Have they improved it since a long time ago? So that's when I last used it, like a few years ago.
A few years ago, it was called Game, I think.
Yeah, have they improved it since then?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing is, if you're using it on Ubuntu, you've got to change something on the Yahoo one with the server. You got to do, like, CN dot in front of their normal server thing.
And that's, again, the problem with Linux.
Oh, so that's why you don't like Linux?
Yeah, it's like a House of Cards effect for me. And the fact that I can't use Photoshop on it easily. Topic for
I just use
discussion.
GIMP.
Can it send custom MSN emotes, you know, like... Like the animated ones, or is it just standard ones?
On Ubuntu, there's just standard ones. Might be able to do custom ones on Windows. I haven't had a working Windows until just about a week ago.
So, basically, this is an alternative to whatever client you need. If you want to check it out, it's pidgin.im, pidgin.im.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It's a good thing to try if you're upset with the default MSN client or you need something that can do more that's not overly bloated. So, check it out. Brad, you want to check it out?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay. What you guys been up to? Start with Jason.
In real life or RuneScape?
Both.
Well, in real life, I had to clean parts of the house today.
Okay.
And yesterday, I had to put the cow out.
The cow?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you must live in a rural area then.
Yes.
Okay. That's good. What else?
Not much in real life. In RuneScape, I've been looking up information about items.
Oh, yeah, for the item database stuff, right?
Yeah. Which we could use submissions for.
Yeah, so help them out with that in the submissions forum. What about your max hit stuff?
Oh, yeah, I got some more information about that, but I need to work on that today.
Good. Max hit is something that's another kind of thing that's nice because it involves like a formula and it's just sort of something that people kind of take for granted, but it's nice knowing how it works. Okay. Anything else that you want to share?
I got into a new very addicting game.
Called?
Ebony.com.
Oh. Was that through one of the ads on the forums?
No, actually it was from one of my dad's friends.
Oh, interesting. What's that game about? Because I keep seeing the ads, but I never checked it out.
Yeah. You start with a small city, and then you have to build it up. You gather resources over time. It's all based off of real time. And eventually, you first start out with having a week of protections where nobody can attack you. But then once that's up, anybody can attack you. And you're all in these different states. You can choose what town, what state you start in. And then you build up from there. And as you collect special medals, you can build subsequent cities.
Interesting. So it's like a real-time RTS game, sort of.
Yeah.
Okay. Brad?
What have I been up to?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Okay, but you went to the gym today. What else?
I went to the gym. I told you I went shopping, which was extremely boring.
What'd you buy?
I didn't buy anything.
So why'd you go?
Carry bags.
That's what we're for, right?
And something to do. No, honestly, it's not been a terribly active day for me. Okay. Thursdays usually aren't. But, yeah, nothing.
Okay.
How about you, Shane? What have you been doing? Big Brother wants to know what you've been doing.
Yeah, 2 days ago I got back from our little trip to the mountain hideaway, which was nice.
And to worship your statue of George W. Bush, you neocons.
No. And then also I've been working on the calculators, but that I took a break from that recently because, well, I went away, so I plan to start up again on that tonight. On RuneScape I've been doing some thieving. Just rounding thieving off because it's a quick skill and it's good total level boost, you know? So figured why not. And I also built my menagerie, which you can see on RuneWire.
As you mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
which never loaded for me.
You said it was just me, Shane. Screw you.
I thought it was just you. Okay. I think that's about it, unless there's anything else. Oh yeah, the nation states thing.
sign up if you like politics.
Yeah, I don't know. We should make an alliance, you and me.
We can't make alliances.
Yeah, too bad I can't invade you or something, you know?
You can endorse me, though. Doesn't that sound
exciting? Endorse?
Yeah, basically, there's, once you join the World Assembly, which we talked about earlier, you can endorse other members. And I think the member state with the most endorsements from a region becomes the ambassador to the World Assembly. And basically, that person has an increased voting power on proposals. I think they have one vote for every member of their region. So we have 16. We currently have 16 states in our region. So our representative has 16 votes towards proposals or against.
People should vote for me. Endorse me.
No, they should. They will, because you're the damn site owner.
Endorse Microsoft Asia.
Endorse Brad.
Well, with that said, I think
have a look at his voting record on the current one. He voted against the one for privacy. Is that the sort of person you want to give, you know, another 15 votes to? No.
Anyways, I think that's it for RSVMB update 218 for Jason.
See ya.
RSVMB Informer.
Goodbye.
And Brad. I've already said goodbye, so I'm gonna say see you guys all next week, everybody. And that's it for this show. Good night.